Good morning. The sermon title is The Funeral of the Follower. The Funeral of the Follower. We are in John chapter 11, verses 25 through 44. 25 through 44. We are overlapping a little bit with the last time that we were in John chapter 11, because this is a more natural place for us to pick up in John chapter 11. And so we read through the scripture first together just to get a good sense of the flow and to remind us of what happens at the funeral of the follower. John chapter 11, verse 25, Jesus said to her, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. And when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary her sister, saying, The teacher has come and is calling for you. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Now, Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, She is going to the tomb to weep there. Then when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Other translations say he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. Even he was angry in his spirit and deeply moved. And he said, Where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, See how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, Take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench. Another translation said, Lord, he is already decaying, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Now when he had said these things, he cried or shouted with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, Loose him and let him go. May God bless the reading of his word. After reading this part of the story of the funeral and then the raising of Lazarus, I found myself thinking something pretty direct and pretty straightforward, and that is, when it comes to the funeral of a follower in particular, we should let Jesus do the talking. We should let Jesus do the talking. You say, Brother Ricky, we should let Jesus do the talking. That's right. Let Jesus do the talking. Why? Let's see. Let's back up and look at verse 25. I want you to see this. Then Jesus said to her, that would be Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She, Martha, said to Jesus, yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. I say to you, we should let Jesus do the talking. Why? Number one, because who you are and who I am and what you've done and what I've done, they are not the answer to death. Who you are, who I am, what you've done, and what I've done are not the answer to death. On the other hand, who Jesus is and what he's done is the answer to death. So we should let Jesus do the talking. We should listen when he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. He who lives and believes in me shall never die. Those are the words we need to hear. We should let Jesus do the talking. Because who you are and what you've done and who I am and what I've done is not the answer to your death or to my death. Only who Jesus is and what he's done is the answer to death. So we should let Jesus do the talking. Verse number 28. And when she had said these things, Martha, she went away and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, the teacher has come and is calling for you. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Now, Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, she's going to the tomb to weep there. Again, I say to you, we should let Jesus do the talking. Why is that? Secondly, part number one, because friends of the deceased and the grieving may have the best of intentions, but they do not always know what to do or say in the face of death. Because friends of the deceased and friends of those who are grieving may have the best of intentions, but they do not always know what to do or what to say in the face of death. This is a bit rude, and it's okay. I wouldn't do this if I'd been here 6 months, but I've been here 9 years. So I'm going to take a little liberty and press something here with you, and perhaps I can counsel all of you as to how we should deal with the funeral service, because and grieving and caring for one another. But I have recently written this, and I think that I need to share it with you. It is part of a funeral service. It is the way I have opened a funeral message recently, and it is a burden on my heart. It goes like this. Death seems far away, except when it isn't. Death creates profound sorrow in our hearts because it separates us from those we love. Death rudely interjects itself into our lives and unkindly compels us to wonder what is on the other side of death's door. The funeral asks us, what are you going to do with death? Too many of the popular answers in American culture attempt to play nice with death. To be fair, we don't always know what to say in the face of death, and we often retreat to things like this. Someone is in a better place, or they are not suffering anymore, and similar expressions. I find them dissatisfying for two reasons. The first is voiced by the sincere questions. How do I know? And who says? We're not talking about whether the price of milk at Walmart is $1.69 or $1.49. We're talking about whether someone is actually in a better place and whether someone is actually not suffering anymore. Those seem to be pretty significant claims. So when I hear them, even though I'm polite and I don't shout in the context of a funeral home, in my spirit I just feel, why are we saying this? Who says? How do I know? The second is just how real physical death is. As much as we want to soften the blow, here are the facts. The loved family member or friend had been able to do all the things that a living person could just days ago, but no more. His or her death means no more talking with her, no more eating with him, no more hugs from her, no more laughing with him, no more life with her. These attempts to play nice with death fail because death refuses to play nice with us. And outside the confines of all the politeness, when we leave the funeral home and we're staring at our own table, we recognize how hollow those words are. Well, they're in a better place. They're not suffering anymore. Deep in our spirits, we can't help but hear the question, how do I know? Who says? So we should let Jesus do the talking. Why? Because friends of the deceased and the grieving may have the best of intentions, but they do not always know what to do or say in the face of death. And they may underestimate the significance of the presence of Jesus. They may underestimate the significance of the presence of Jesus. To be clear, in John chapter 11, you take Jesus out of this story and everything's much different. Yes? Amen? We've just read how it ends. Can you imagine it ending like that if you take Jesus out? No, see, Jesus has to be the centerpiece of John 11. And particularly for the funeral of the follower, Jesus has to be the centerpiece. Verse 32. Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. This is really what we expect. This is Mary grieving. This is Mary asking the question that every one of us asks when it's our loved one. Why? Why now? Yes? If you love someone, wouldn't you love to have them one more day? Absolutely. In fact, most of us go away wishing it could be a lot more days. Because the person we care for, we love them. We want to be with them. In my case, often it means I would love to hear the story I already have memorized one more time. Because that's what Southern people do. Tell the same stories over and over and over again, just like you've never heard them before. Some of you guys are relieved. You thought he said the same stuff over and over again in the pulpit. We were beginning to worry about him. It's a Southern thing. It's okay. Verse 33. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. He was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. He was even angry in his spirit and deeply moved. One translation says. Again, what we expect. This is Mary's weeping. It's those who have joined with her in this mourning over the death of her brother, and they are likewise weeping. But I would have you notice that Jesus was far from unaffected. It says he was groaning, he was hurt, he was deeply moved, all of that. Didn't the psalmist say that the Lord was near to the brokenhearted? I believe he did. Verse 34, and Jesus said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." And then the shortest verse in all of the Bible, which deserves more attention than the number of words that it has. Jesus wept. Direct. Straightforward. We understand this. If someone you love has passed, the pain is real. And when the heart aches, the eyes leak. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." We should, at the funeral of the follower, we should let Jesus do the talking. Why? Because Jesus' love for the deceased and the grieving is obvious. Because Jesus' love for the deceased and the grieved is obvious. All I have to do is to quote two words to prove that. Jesus wept. How did he react? He's deeply moved in spirit. He's greatly troubled. Even so that watching the pain of those folks makes him, give me a little bit of liberty here, angry at the curse. In the Psalms we're told, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." We should let Jesus do the talking because Jesus' love for the deceased and the grieving is obvious. Verse 37. And some of them said, "Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying?" Again, I say to you, we should let Jesus do the talking. Why? Because God rarely, if ever, grants heaven's viewpoint of present events. Guessing the purpose or purposes of God connected to a person's death is unwise. Silence is better than trying to put words in God's mouth. Because God rarely, if ever, grants heaven's viewpoint of present events. Guessing the purpose or purposes of God connected to a person's death is unwise. Silence is better than trying to put words in God's mouth. We're not too shy about this anymore, by the way. Our present culture, including preachers and evangelicals and Southern Baptists just like us, we are much too flippant with the words, "God said to me." And then we're not quoting Scripture. Be careful. The Old Testament says that if you say that God said something and it doesn't come to pass, the standard is you should be killed for being a false prophet. You ought to be stoned. I don't think God's changed his mind about people putting words in his mouth. So you be careful saying God said when you can't quote chapter and verse. That's your own dangerous territory. Does God still speak? Yes, he does. And if he does, you rest assured you'll be able to find some support, some strength, some affirmation, some confirmation in his word. The word's not defective. Our knowledge of it may be. Verse 38. Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said, Lord, by this time there is a stench. He's already been decaying. He has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. I have pastors that I listen to for support and encouragement and strength. And this past week I have listened to John MacArthur and also Al Mohler on these passages. And Dr. MacArthur writes this. He says, the Jews did not embalm. The Jews did nothing to stop the decay. They wrapped the body and they sprinkled spices on it to mitigate the smell. That's it. MacArthur went on to include some material about what happens to a human body after death if it is not embalmed or stored in a cold environment. I will spare you the specifics. I confirmed his findings with an online forensics resource out of the United Kingdom. It is quite unpleasant. Within 72 hours, an unembalmed person not stored in some kind of cool place would be gross. It would be offensive to all of your senses. In short, there's a good reason not to remove a stone from a grave of a person that's been dead 4 days in Jesus' day. That's not some rhetorical device. That's a sister saying, I don't think I can bear that. Remember, I told you, death refuses to play nice with us. Apart from some supernatural intervention, the sight and the smell would be horrifying. So again, I say to you, at the funeral of a follower, we should let Jesus do the talking. And why is that? Because Jesus does have heaven's viewpoint of present events. He is not guessing what God is doing. He is the word out of God's mouth. Because Jesus does have heaven's viewpoint of present events. He is not guessing what God is doing. He is the word out of God's mouth. So if Jesus says, take the stone away, and doesn't ignore the counsel from Martha who says, he's been dead 4 days. There's going to be a stench. This is going to be gross and disgusting and awful and painful for all of us who love him. Jesus, are you sure this is what you want to do? We should let Jesus do the talking. He does have heaven's viewpoint of present events. He's not guessing what God intends to do. He is the word out of God's mouth. In verse 41, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Now, when he had said these things, he cried, he shouted with even a louder voice than the one he had used to pray. Right? The scripture says he did that out loud, not privately, so the people standing around could hear his prayer. What does he pray? Father, I thank you that you've heard me. And this is not an exception. I know you always hear me, but I'm praying this out loud so the people standing around will believe and they will know that you sent me. And then he stops the prayer. It's kind of fun. When you're Jesus, you don't have to pray in Jesus' name. Right? You just stop. And he stops, and what does he do? He turns his attention toward the grave, right, where the stone's been rolled away. And he shouts, he cries out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth! We should let Jesus do the talking at the funeral of the follower. Why is that? Because the Father always listens to Jesus. especially and including when Jesus says, that person belongs to me. You can't get happy about that. I can't help you. Because the Father always listens to Jesus, including when at the gates of heaven, Jesus says to the Father, that one is mine. Can you imagine better words in all of eternity to hear than Jesus identifying you in the presence of the Father and saying, he is mine. She is mine. Does it get any better than that? Is there a moment in all of your life or in all eternity that you would like to replay more than Jesus pointing at you and saying, he's mine, she's mine? Does it get any better than that? If it does, would you please tell me? Verse 43 and 44. Now when he had said these things, he cried, he shouted out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And when he who had died came out, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth, Jesus said to him, loose him and let him go. What a scene that must have been. Can you imagine that? I scarcely can. I dare say there were other people beside Lazarus who needed medical attention when he walked out of that grave. Because I'll bet there were a few people whose knees got weak and their stomachs got queasy, because that was the last thing they expected to see 4 days after Lazarus had died. Again, folks, we should let Jesus do the talking at the funeral of a follower. And here's the final reason, and this may be the best one. Because when Jesus calls your name, even death can't keep you from obeying him. Because when Jesus calls your name, even death can't keep you from following him. At the funeral of the follower, we should let Jesus do the talking. Because when Jesus calls your name, even death can't keep you from obeying him. That will make Jesus identifying me and saying I belong to him even more amazing. Because in that moment, all that has in me that has been in rebellion against God and still yet rebels will be squashed. And when Jesus calls my name from that day forward, I will have the power to obey perfectly and eternally. And that will be amazing. Joe Shelton has a song called Never Failing Jesus Again. He says, heaven for some may be streets of gold. Another chance to be young will be found by the old. A bright, shiny mansion, he's prepared us a place. While heaven for others will be just a look on his face. But heaven for me surely will be never failing Jesus again. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. The final word I would give you this morning is this. If we let Jesus do the talking, will he call your name? If we let Jesus do the talking, will he call your name?